Oh yeah, about to get my Cinema Stash rehash on.
Let's go!
What?
Oh yeah.
Podcasting from Chico, California, and home of the world's largest functional yo-yo. They are Cinema Stash Rehash. Join them as they talk movies, make fun of them, and discover how they fuel your everyday life paranoia. Let me welcome you to...
And welcome back. We are going to talk about some twang, specifically some Coen Brothers twang, a little Sweet. Movie called Raised in Arizona, starring somebody who we haven't talked about yet, Nick Cage. Mm-hmm. But before we get into that, I am Wyatt, and I am here with Jason and Chris.
Hey, guys.
And we have a guest today, and he's somebody that we all know well, and he's here to talk about some movies with us. It's Mark. Say hello, Mark.
Hello, Mark.
So, yeah. So, anyway, we're talking about Raised in Arizona. Came out in 1987, starring Nick Cage, Holly Hunter. The Coen brothers wrote it and directed it, and it was basically a... I don't know if any of you guys saw Blood Simple before this movie was made, but Blood Simple was really kind of twangy, but like more ominous and dark and, you know, murderous. Not that this movie isn't, but, you know, had no real comedic elements to it. So this was kind of like the same kind of weird, where in bunfuck Egypt is this place kind of element to it, but, you know, much more lighthearted comedic element with the likes of Nick Cage and John Goodman.
I didn't know that Arizona was so oaky.
Neither did I, and I still question that because I've heard that the Arizonans themselves don't really think that this movie is a good representation of Arizona.
Oh, I just read that as well. It's like they didn't really. We don't want to be associated with this
because it is. It's like very twangy. It's like, you know, I mean, like the scene where the prison. It's like kind of, you know, you can buy that. They don't really make it seem hayseedy, but then once you get into HI,
it's super backwards.
Yeah, their trailer out in the middle of fucking nowhere.
I mean, it's just the beginning of the movie when you're, I mean, the first 7 minutes, what is it, Nick Cage gets out and goes back into prison like four times?
Yeah, while he eloquently narrates his experience going in and out of Maricopa.
Turn to the right. Yeah. Turn to the right.
I liked Ed, though. I had a crush on Ed immediately.
Yeah. Well, she already stole my heart in Field of Dreams, so I was all on board.
That's where she was.
Yeah. I don't know if that came out before or after this, but either way, that's where I remember her from.
I feel like it'd be after. Yeah, I feel like this is pretty early.
Totally.
Yeah. I can't remember, but I mean.
But she's a cutie, man.
She does her job. She does her job well.
Get the fingers. Oh,
yeah. Wow. I just love, you know, I mean, the whole seven first part of the movie when, you know, this he keeps getting kicked out and he loves shortstop. The quickie mart, basically.
The shortstop. Yeah.
Yes, he loves the shortstop. That is his jam. He loves to rob the shortstops.
Yeah, and Ronald Reagan is the reason he robs those because, you know.
Really?
He might be a decent man.
I tried to stand up and fly straight, but it wasn't easy with that sumbitch Reagan in the White House. I don't know. They say he's a decent man, so maybe his advisors are confused.
I have to be honest, I'm pretty much sure that Con Air is basically just Raising Arizona 2.
Con Air is like when he got buffer.
Rehash.
His hair got.
It's a rehash of Raising Arizona.
His hair got longer, but like he got balder at the same time.
But like, what about that has to be like the worst parole committee that I've ever like listened to ever in my life.
Well, that another reason that Arizonans are probably annoyed with this movie because they're like, God, we're not that fucking dumb.
I was going
to
say,
you're not going to lie to us, are you?
Pretty hardcore satire.
Like, every time there's a scene involving an outsider of the cast, you know, it's like when Evel and Gale, who we'll get into in a little bit, go and rob the bank. God, I'm jumping so far ahead. But like the hayseeds, you know, like, and he's like, freeze, get to the ground.
He's like, am I supposed to freeze? Am I supposed to get to the ground?
Yeah, he's like,
can't do both at the same time.
Which is it?
Which is it?
But yeah, Evel and Gale. So
I can't do both at the same time.
Yeah. He's throwing logic at him.
He's like, John Goodman, goddamn it, you're right.
But when they do get into Evel and Gale, which is a little bit later on past that intro where they are kind of shown, you know, they're definitely kind of introduced as like these, you know, the bad guys, but they're good-hearted, you know, they're kind of just idiots. But that's I don't want to get too far into this without talking about what this movie's about if people haven't seen it, and that would be that you know, Ed and Hi, once they get married, try to have kids, and it doesn't work out. Ed's barren.
Oh, Jesus. You're barren. Spoilers.
She's yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
Mark, spoiler alert. This is a rehash.
You're supposed to watch the movies before we get on here.
You're not clicking onto this movie if you've this never isn't seen drinking it before.
Oh, that's what the
This isn't drinking gink, or we just fucking wing it, bro.
Yeah, okay. Hey, fuck you. All right.
But, so upon finding out that they can't have kids, they get, you know, a rash idea in their head when they find out that the local furniture store,
the unpainted furniture.
Yeah, Nathan Arizona got himself some quintuplets, so they, you know, they get the crazy idea of maybe they should go take one of these, and yeah, so that leads into where they have the kid, and Gail and Evel show up after they break out of prison in crazy fashion.
I didn't know it was a prison break movie, especially when they like birth from the earth.
Yeah,
you know, it's just like John.
It was like a Shawshank Redemption kind of thing.
Oh, it was like
John Goodman lets off his first of many like full on body yells.
Yeah, where are they? Just the entire movie. Yeah.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's just like a whole lot of like, I mean, the whole time he bursts from it, and he like just dives headfirst back down to the hole and just rips out his brother.
Evel, who's played by William Forsythe.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, I think William Forsythe, I don't know if those are his real teeth, but they worked really well for that movie.
I think they were.
Perfect, yeah. For the Yoki feel.
I think they were his real teeth, if I had to guess.
So, you know, they bust out of prison and track down Hi,
mm-hmm.
And bust in on their new little family, which they thought they weren't going to be bothered by anybody. But suddenly, you know, reality's catching up with them. And
pretty much.
Yeah. It gets interesting.
But I actually really do love, I mean, the whole scene, you know, I mean, when they're basically, they say, they're like, oh, well, they clearly have too many babies that they can handle. I mean, clearly. I mean, for all I know, you know, maybe Nathan Arizona should have gotten in the baby business, you know, some sort of adoption agency perhaps. But the whole thing, but I love that.
I hear you need a guy.
Yeah. This is the untainted baby.
Well, hi there. My name is Nathan Arizona, and welcome to the Untainted Baby Adoption Agency. Do you need a baby to taint, or have a taint that needs a baby? Well, we here at Nathan's Arizona's Untainted Baby, we have hundreds of untainted babies for you to taint. No background check or credit check required. So come see me and leave with a baby. If you find a cheaper baby anywhere else, well, my name is Nathan Arizona.
But it was like, it's so funny, yeah, because like, I love it when he finally goes through the ladder, gets into the room, and I have to say, man, it's like, those babies are like 7 months old in the crib.
Yeah, they're not
and they're
newborns.
Like, they just came home, and they're like, they've been in the womb for 17 months.
Nah, those yeah. things, those like,
the baby's smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, like, yeah.
What the fuck?
It's like, they're crawling around. But I mean, I love it, though. He's literally like, picking up every 15. Baby, and he's trying them out. He's putting them in different scenarios in the room. He's like,
is that
crawling
what he's doing?
Out
I didn't really get what he was doing.
He's trying them out.
He's just juggling them. He's like, okay, so I'll try one of them out, and then suddenly another gets out, and then he's like, sets that one down, you know. And it's like some of the best kind of slapsticky Nick Cage,
exactly,
you know, where he's, I mean, Nick, it's not like Nick Cage is that funny of a guy, but when he gets physical and uses like his facial expressions and like and his, when he had that weird Woody Woodpecker haircut in that movie.
Well, dude, that his hair is phenomenal in that film. It's like, I read that he was so adamant about his hair in the film. It's like, the more fucked up it is, it relates to the exact scenario that he's dealing with.
Totally.
So the more in trouble he is, the more whacked out his hair is.
Yeah.
Like every time, it's like,
was this Nick Cage's first movie?
No.
It wasn't?
But it was like the one that broke him. Like, he just plowed onto the scene.
Yeah,
like
87, that's something. That's pretty early. So yeah, I would imagine that this maybe was like his first, you know,
didn't he do
good movie?
Was it Viva Las Vegas after that?
I think that was
more into the 90s when he did Leaving Las Vegas.
A little bit further down the road.
I think so.
I have no idea. I don't know.
Yeah, but this We're doing Raising Arizona.
Well, I'm talking Nick Cage, man. I just kind of went down that rabbit
hole. What do you guys? So just to off skirt it a little bit. What do you think of Nick Cage? Are you? Is this a Nick Cage garage or?
No, I think Nick Cage is entertaining, but like there's so many movies of his where I'm just like, God, dude.
Well, that's why do you think I keep bringing up Con Air?
Yeah, I love Nick Cage. I'm a Nick Cage fan.
Yeah.
Why not?
I mean, I like Face Off. Great fucking Nick Cage movie.
There's some good ones. I like The Rock.
He started making
some decent movies.
He went pretty off the, you know, he was just trying to make him some money. So he went Bangkok Dangerous and he got into those weird, wearing like a priest costume and stuff. But I like Nick Cage. So
yeah.
I had seen this movie previously, but I didn't remember much. So it was nice to see Nick Cage acting Nick Cagey.
Oh, very much so. And every time I looked at him, I thought of David Schwimmer, and I don't know why.
Oh, yeah, no. Because
he was really? So Schwimmerish. I mean, like, when isms. He was young, like, I mean, he just was, yeah, I don't know why.
Schwimmerish?
He was Schwimmerish. And every time I looked at him, it was like, he has this thing.
It's very disrespectful to call someone, I feel. I feel like he would take offense to that.
I meant no disrespect, Mr.
If Nick Cage is here, he'd be like, what? Do you just call me Schwimmerish?
I think David Schwimmer would be flattered.
Or maybe he's more
he's like, fuck that
Cage.
Guy.
I'm Nick Cage.
Yeah, I'm Nick Cage, bitch.
You think I look like the guy on Friends?
Like I said, no disrespect. Just, you know.
Was
like
he on Friends?
I just saw it.
Who, Nick Cage?
No.
No. Schwimmer, dude. When the Arizonas the discover that Nathan Jr. is gone, suddenly, you know, there's this obviously kind of a pretty comedic, you know, infiltration of the house with police, and you kind of see the temperament and the also the acting style of that guy I dropped my notes on the floor, but the guy that plays Nathan Arizona, Trey Wilson, I think is his name, but he, you know, like that whole scene where they're like, what, he was wearing pajamas. Like, what do they have on him? He's like, I don't know, Yodas and shit.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Trey Wilson.
Yeah, but that scene, you know, that's there's some good cinematography there when he goes to bed that night after Evel and Gale show up and he's starting to realize that he's like, there's some shit going on. And he has that dream with Leonard Small shows up, and you know.
The Hell Rider.
With that. Haunting lullaby going on during the whole time where like the camera jumps over the tricycle and goes up the ladder to the screaming woman, you know, and you wake up to Holly Hunter going like, I did not murder that sweet little girl. I was like, what the hairs are standing up on the back of my neck.
I actually thought this movie was kind of a little bit before its time.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, I mean, the comedy style and like this, the outlandishness and the shit they throw at you during this. I mean, it could have been made today.
Yeah.
And it would have like just
done
been,
really well today.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean,
because it's got that Americana.
Then, but it was just so like fresh. I mean, I don't think I've been. I'm surprised I never really saw this movie. I've seen it before, I know. But when I saw this, I was like, this movie is fucking crazy. This shit could be made right now and it would fit right into the crap and do something, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. But the Coen brothers are good, you know. They made some good shit that's also been funny and completely, you know, off the rails at the same time. Yeah. We should start talking about Leonard Smalls, who you know, doesn't get asked to show up at Unpainted Arizona.
Right.
But he makes quite the entrance, you know. He walks in and you know, a cigarette flies out of his finger or cigar, and then he, you know, like the match flies out of his finger and he lights it on the
fringer. Let's talk about like when he's introduced, you know, and like the whole time he's riding on the bike and he throws a grenade, blows up a rabbit, and then he fucking shoots a lizard with his shotgun on a rock. I mean, it's like, if that guy is not badass, I don't know who is.
Yeah.
But it was insane.
How is someone that unbalanced allowed to operate?
It's Arizona, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's a bounty hunter.
It's close to the sticks.
Yeah, he's throwing fucking hand grenades at the car.
Only in Arizona can you walk down the street with hand grenades attached to your jacket and two shotguns for some akimbo style firing. But, you know, Leonard Smalls, he just shows up out of nowhere. So, but before that, you know, we get into that. Let's talk about the little gathering that H.I. and Ed had with Dot and Gary, or Glenn, who's High's foreman. You know, like they come over with their eight kids or whatever.
Where's that baby? Where's he at?
Go find him, honey.
Go Cut it out, Glenn.
You know, and like there's the one kid, Buford, who's writing fart on the wall, and he throws peanuts at him or whatever. You know, he's like, watch this. Watch how spry he is, you know. Just a shit show of a fucking family.
Perfect example of birth control, for sure.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you got the, and Dot, who's played by Frances McDormand, who's married to one of the Coen brothers. I'm not sure which one, but
I don't know either.
She's in all the movies. But yeah, like she kind of plays that typical Midwestern evangelical kind of like, oh God, he's a baby angel.
have we done that yet? do we do that already?
Oh God, that seems crazy.
I love that scene.
You got to get his D-tap.
Do we get his D-tap yet?
His tip-D.
Do we get that yet? No.
She's the type that, you know, that her shit doesn't stink.
Yeah.
You know, I know the way, you should do it this way.
Well, I would name him Jason.
I like Bible names.
Did you know you have a biblical name, Jason? I didn't know.
My question, I didn't know either until just now.
My main question is, how come I never have a dinner party that ends with people asking about swinging?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, that whole scene's, I mean, like the experience for H.I. is, you can tell it's just like he's just dying there. You know, like from the moment he puts on his shoehorned loafers to, you know, like when he's having to listen to Glenn talk to does the Pope wear a funny hat?
God, yeah. His jokes were so bad.
I guess he does, Glenn.
That actual whole encounter between the two of them was just painful for me. It was painfully obvious that they were both acting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I agree with that. But still,
like, you know. I wasn't really pulled into the illusion at all.
I think that's the one main problem with Nick Cage.
That's probably why. 80% of the time, you're like,
yeah, this guy's just acting.
Yeah. God, it's just.
Yeah. I just choose to get past that, and then it turns into pretty good stuff.
Well, all right then.
Exactly.
You have to be able to put some things aside.
I agree with that, though. Yeah. I do. That's just a funny scene. If it ends with that's, you know, him getting punched out, and
well, yeah, because Glenn, you know,
apparently
offers,
some people aren't down for swinging. I didn't know that. I thought everyone was just partners. So. Yeah.
But yeah, so
unspoken rule.
Nah, I go.
So that kind of the night spirals from there, and you know, like there's that epic scene in the movie that takes place after H.I. goes into the shortstop after a long, long time.
I mean, he's been doing so good.
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden he just pulls by the shop and
just can't.
He can't help himself. And that's when the famous line is, I'll be taking these Huggies and whatever cash you got.
I'll be taking these Huggies and whatever cash you got.
Yeah,
and then it just all goes to hell again. But I love, you know,
everybody has
a
gun.
Yeah, and he pushes the button, and the cops come.
Shit.
And I love police protocol. They don't even stop and say freeze. They just come out of the car and start capping.
Oh,
like there is no protocol there. It's like just shoot the shit out of the guy.
You know? Yeah. One of the cops just tuck and rolled out and started shooting as he was rolling out of the car. What is happening?
It's still running and shooting with like a revolver.
Yeah, and that scene, it starts when he's inside the convenience store, I think, but definitely when he gets into the other settings during that scene when he goes into the grocery store and other people's houses, that music continues, you know.
Yeah.
Like when he's in the grocery store, there's that twang music still playing. Like it's just the sound of his life. And right. That he goes in the grocery store, the guy with the shotgun is just blowing up his store just to stop a guy.
Nobody can fucking hit anything.
He must have saw the cops chasing him or something. Like, how do you know? Just to start capping this guy in the store.
Well, look at the cops. Like,
they all have the biggest guns, too, and they can't hit shit. Stormtrooper.
Totally.
Stormtrooper college or something.
They all go to the same academy.
Probably another reason Arizonans hate this movie. They're like, we ain't bad shots.
We're better shots.
Oh, my God.
Send your reporters.
Who did that? The whole, like,
I'll prove it to you.
Like the dog, I mean, he busts out of the thing, and he's being chased by the cops. And
well, he gets in that pickup.
The whole pack of dogs is chasing him, and they're running through the house, and it's randomly. And I guess the Nathan Arizona commercial is playing in the background.
Oh yeah,
so that was great. But I guess I read something about it that originally the Coen brothers thought of like having him hold the camera at his face as he's running through the house,
like a selfie.
Yeah, kind of like that whole scenario, just trying to get a different angle. But you know, there was like it was just too.
Too weird.
Weirdly creepy, exactly.
Now that shit happens all the time.
Yeah.
Mostly in scary movies, you put that rig on your shoulder and start
like
running.
I said, man, totally. Before it's time. You know, they were coming up with shit before they even knew it.
You know, and that how he goes through the is it in the grocery store or in the house where it's like somebody's like, boy, you got a panty on your head.
Son, you got a panty on your head. You drive fast, eh?
Was it when he got in the car? Like that guy's truck. He opens the guy's truck door. He's like, "Boy, you got a pan." He's like, "Just drive." And that guy, another guy, that's just like his whole. I wonder how long I had to scream. Like how many scenes they had to do it where he was just in the truck going like, "Ah!" A lot of yelling in this movie.
There was. I think that was actually an element. I don't know what it meant, but.
But, you know, all the while, H.I., he's pretty much fucked if he didn't have that, you know, Ed being sympathetic enough to come pick him up after she ditched him. You know, they do get the huggies.
He literally could be talked into anything. Just whoever he's talking to that minute was like what he's going to do now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there's no decision-making skills
as soon as John Goodman opened his mouth, I was like, well, I'm doing whatever he's saying, so let's just do
he's writing then. That letter to her, too, you know, and he's just like, yeah. You find out his real name, which was Herbert.
And hers is Edwina.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, it's the movie, I didn't expect this movie to be so just crazy. I mean, because I think I've seen the movie before, but it's been so many years, and I didn't...
Well, yeah, and if you actually... knew back then that the Coens were making crazy movies, it might be something that you wouldn't find, you know, like what rehashing it, it's kind of like, oh yeah, this is a Coen Brothers movie. That's what it is, you know, like, so kind of perspective of somebody from 1987 was probably like, this movie's fucking weird, you know.
So besides the Big Lebowski, what else did they do?
They did they did Blood Simple, like I was talking about. They've also done,
I've heard of that one.
Fargo.
That was like their first, I think.
They did Fargo. That's okay.
Yeah, they've done some others, but
I was not much of a Coen fan.
I mean, I didn't really know much of their movies, so this was a nice surprise.
You're a little older than me than Mark and I, but they were kind of. I mean, Fargo is right when I was in junior high, I think, and I didn't really get the comedy. So.
Yeah, the Fargo is one of those. I mean, that's even like more like Blood Simple than Raising Arizona, but I would say they're in the same like spectrum of kind of like that. Taking a kind of a hillbilly, you know, rural outskirts kind of town and making a crazy weird story out of it that's, you know, dark and twisted but also whimsical because it's so, you know, outside the norm for most people,
you know. Yeah. You know, I was gonna ask you guys, I couldn't tell if Arizona Senior loved or wanted the kids or not. Because at first it felt like he didn't care that the kid, but at the end he felt like he actually loved the children and he was happy to have Nathan Jr. back.
Right.
Yeah.
But throughout the movie it was like Nathan Jr. who the fuck he took.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't even know.
And the little baby had never had a name. He was.
Well, I just thought it was funny too the whole time. Like, you know, they're all sitting down in their little, you know, area, and you know, he's bitching about whatever he's reading in the paper, and she's like, "Yes, dear." And the whole time there's all that ruckus and shit happening upstairs, and they just keep like looking up at the ceiling, like nothing's
babies.
Going on, and they're like, exactly, they're babies.
It's like, what could they be doing in there?
It's like, you're not going to go and check on that shit.
Yeah,
that's a bit more of a thump than you should be hearing for babies.
Another reason, like another one of these movies that this is the first time I've watched it since I've had a kid, and it's way different, you know, than when I didn't have kids, because that scene you're talking about is right. It's like if you had kids, a baby. And it was upstairs, and nobody was up there watching.
Babies, plural. Five of them in that bad boy.
And you hear a thump. It's like
they're playing basketball.
You know, just like look up, like.
And he goes back to the paper
if that was
for like
Santa
5 minutes too. Like maybe something was going to come through the ceiling. Yeah. She was looking up for like 12 minutes. Should I go up there? Like, yeah, you should go up there. There's someone kidnapping your children.
You have five fucking kids. Get up there.
What do you think that noise is? They're toddlers. Have a monitor.
I mean, to see if they get up. That's all.
Which one do they take? I don't know. Nathan Jr. One of them.
Whoever it was.
Wearing clothes? Nobody sleeps naked in this house.
I know it or some shit. I couldn't tell if he loved the kids and was sad that he was gone, or but by the end he seemed like he was legitimately happy to have Nathan Jr. back.
Oh yeah.
His
whole speech about his wife.
Yeah, it was cute.
It's like, yeah, geez. It was.
Well, and he kind of reveals that like he and Florence, his wife, had some stuff, whatever. They couldn't have kids until they got. I was wondering that. I'm like, man, have quintuplets when you're their age? Like, they looked like they were easily in their late 40s, early 50s.
Right. Was that baby supposed to be more cute than it was to me?
Oh, it wasn't. It was an ugly baby.
Well, every character was like, oh my god, it's an angel. Or like, they saw the baby and it was instant love, and they wanted to take care of it.
I saw that baby. 15 different babies played the five. They had. three sets.
I read that babies got fired because three they started walking.
Well, I mean, yeah.
They're like, you're not a baby.
Exactly. No, one fired. Of the moms was so didn't want to get fired, so she put like shoes on backwards on one of the kids and so to ensure that it wouldn't be able to get up and walk or something like that. I mean, they were so bent about getting their kid and getting paid.
Yeah, she should have just cut that kid's ankles off.
Jesus.
Been a star for life.
That's a complete different movie there. Start cutting the kid's ankles off.
You must be a baby.
So I liked it. I feel like I remember my dad watching it when I was really young. Like I said, I'm younger than these dudes, so it's a little bit different, but I remember my dad liking it. And so it's watching it maybe my dad's age now, I can see why. And it's one of those movies kind of like we did with RoboCop, where I do agree when if it came out today with, you know, maybe a different actor, like a Channing Tatum, maybe directed by
my wife would go see it.
Yeah. Man crush.
I don't know, you know, maybe he's naked.
He's like, I don't know, like
maybe he has
like
a shirt off half the time. And
are you saying that all Channing. this movie needed was abs?
And I think you add
and some abs hip Swayze action.
No, yeah, like I said, it was a good. As an adult, I liked it more than I thought I would. There were scenes I wasn't expecting, and so I appreciate the choice.
I think the fans will enjoy expecting it in this movie.
Well, yeah, and you know, I mean, to get into some more of those scenes, it's like once that crazy night happens, and suddenly like the focus is more on Leonard Small's hunting them down. But also getting Evel and Gale out of the house. Like, you know, Ed's sick of the shit, you know? Yeah. Like that morning when they're eating cornflakes and, like, staring at her feeding the baby, and then, like, Gale's like, why aren't you breastfeeding them?
Mind your own goddamn business. Yeah.
And then Evel's like, our counselor says it might be why we have problems. just an uncomfortable scene.
They were a really good comedy duo.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
and slinging the milk and shit around as he's talking with his hands.
Totally.
<It's>
like,
I hate to interrupt the conversation. Did the Coen brothers do Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
They did.
Yes.
I like that one.
This movie had some very similar kind of colors and elements to Oh Brother, Where Art Thou.
John Goodman seems to be a recurring character in a lot of their movies too.
Yeah.
Totally. He probably, because he like gets to yell. He yells in all of them.
He's good. I love John Goodman.
Yeah. He's got a very classic. There's a movie where he doesn't.
Well, he's one of the few big gentlemen that survived. You know.
Totally.
Seems like all my big role models when I was a kid.
Well, it was the best. Like, you know, when they finally figured it out that who that kid really was, and you know, then the whole scene when they were trying to like take the baby, and the whole fight scene between Goodman and Cage was just this priceless.
Nicolas Cage gets his butt kicked the entire movie.
But you forget, you forget the structural capability of a double wide. Those walls are like paper.
Yeah,
and they're just like tossing. I mean,
the best part is when HI goes to smack John Goodman on the back with two hands, but he like, you know, can't do it above the ceiling, so he scrapes his hands on the top of the he's like, oh!
John Goodman reaches back and elbows the window. He just through the cardboard.
Oh, it was a priceless fight scene.
Yeah.
There was no way that wasn't good.
So then, yeah, like that's after
cupboard.
That.
Cupboard. Cupboard.
After that, suddenly Evel and Gale have Junior. And are taking him, and that's just funny because it's like that whole scene when they're taking him, and Evel's like, he smiled at me. It's like, good little brother. Like it's just like
instantly in love.
Yeah, yeah. Like they're
like, there's something magic about that kid. That's what
it really was.
Every time someone,
I think it's just that he has straight teeth and good looking hair, and a lot of these Arizonans don't.
Not today. We love you, Arizona. It's a movie.
Yeah, I agree just with Arizona. I've been to Arizona, and I didn't really experience anything that I saw in this movie.
No. I didn't see anything at all that has anything resembling
I've never been
film.
To Arizona,
which
so
makes
I'm
sense
just going
to like it.
Well, I'm just going to choose to assume that it was just like this.
Yeah, that's pretty safe to say. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really funny,
so
though.
Don't ruin it for me.
But so Evel and Gale have that plan to go rob the bank, and they take Junior because they're like, well, we can get a ransom, too, because they're dumb as fuck. They're just thinking, like, yeah, this is 1987. Or, no, this movie probably takes place in the early 80s, I would say. I don't know if it takes place in 1987. It seems like it's a little bit when Reagan was president, because he's bitching about that.
Yeah, constantly bitching.
But Yeah, like the scene where they're driving down the street and after they stop at the store and rob the guy of balloons and diapers, you know, just like H.I. does, and tell him to count on the floor, and then the kid falls off the roof of the car, and thankfully he doesn't get his head cracked, because
it's like, what the hell? He
didn't have a helmet on or anything like that.
Second time.
But there's a crazy scene where they, you know, I mean, more John Goodman yelling when he's like punching the car, and he's just like, But like they pull,
you're like mourning all the way there. Yeah, it's like assuming that he's just a squashed pile of mess on the floor.
But they pull up. That scene is crazy because they do just pull right up, but it's actually in reverse.
Yeah, I read that.
It's a pretty cool scene. I mean, I was fearful for the kid for a minute.
But I love that like they didn't like stray him from like their plans at all. And like, you know, they just go right from there. They get the baby and they go right to the bank.
Yeah.
And I love how this bank, it literally feels like it's in the sticks. It feels like, you know, oh, everyone should have six shooters.
It's exactly. Like a Western bank that's still somehow around.
Yeah. It's like, where's
with
this
people
come from?
Who like wear rags, you know, like they come in, like, it's like, this is my only pair of overalls because I live in 1875.
Just got off the plow.
Yeah.
Chuck turns around. He's like, where are the tellers? Like, you told us to get down, sir.
They're so literal.
You know, it's almost my favorite part of the movie is like in that same kind of scene when the biker comes through and all the hayseeds are suddenly sprouting. And they like were diving out of the way and doing like barrel rolls to like get out of the way of the motorcycle driving right through the freaking bank. It's pretty good.
He told me to freeze.
Yeah.
Well, which is it, son? Are we getting on the ground or freezing?
Yeah.
Everybody freeze. Everybody down on the ground.
Well, which is it, young feller? You want I should freeze or get down on the ground?
Can't get on the ground if I'm frozen.
There was some funny quick scenes in there for sure.
Yeah.
Then you know, you get to where, you know, they rob the bank and they're leaving, and they do the same thing where, you know, they forget the kid again, and then the money explodes blue.
Yeah.
And everything's all fucked again.
Yeah.
And then the Hell Rider shows up. I call him the Hell Rider. I don't know what else to call him. What was his name?
Ghost Rider.
Leonard Smalls.
It was foreshadowing.
Okay. Yeah. That's right. Okay.
Other than that, he was the Dream Warrior.
The Dream Warrior.
That was the name of the scene, you know, like when you go through the DVD. Rider.
Ghost Rider.
Pretty much.
It's foreshadowing to a future movie.
It was a dream that he had.
But that actor who played played Leonard Smalls, his name is God, one of my notes on the floor. His nickname was Tex.
Yeah.
But he was a heavyweight boxer and kickboxer. So it's like when he's doing those fight scenes, that's him like doing the roundhouse kicks, you know. And
that was a hell of a round. I remember
his nose
that.
Is busted to all shit, and so he can't even talk without sounding like he's, you know, like got boogers in his nose. It's because he got punched in the face that many times. So he's like the real deal.
Yeah, I remember reading that like he was not good on a bike. Like at all.
Yeah.
Like there was actually a scene where like, you know, he ran the bike into like a hole.
Yeah. When I read about that too, I always imagined that scene in Pee-wee's Big Adventure when he gets on the motorcycle and he just takes off and just drives right into the sign.
Yeah. And I guess he wasn't necessarily the best to work with as well.
Yeah, like, I guess he was he was.
Can believe that just by looking at the guy.
He was the Coen brothers called him a force of nature and not like a. Actor.
Shit, just look at him. He is a force. Yeah,
no he looked like a dick.
Apparently, he was.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Sometimes people.
There's a reason his nose are. Is. He probably got his nose broken outside of the ring. You know,
being an I asshole. Doubt it. I doubt a lot of people would take that guy on outside.
True.
The ring.
True.
But like, how funny was that? You know, when he was doing that ridiculous fight scene with him, and you know, but actually, just. Him when he grabs the baby from the ground and he shoves him right on the front of the bike. It's like his trophy as he's like driving down the road. But then he's doing the fight scene and the same Woody Woodpecker tattoo is
totally.
On his,
which is probably, you know, I mean, I think that's kind of like he is like Nick Cage's alter
future?
Ego. You know,
or totally, yeah, maybe almost,
yeah, or like his you know, his the whatever part of him that was like always doing the wrong thing, you know, like he kills it finally.
It's like how he views himself.
Yeah.
It's like just this hardcore badass. Because
he dreams up the guy and the guy shows up and he's like, you can see him too, you know? Like,
yeah, you really did think it was like his alter ego chasing after him or something like that.
Yeah, or just his inner demons or something like that.
Yeah, I sense the duality.
Thing. Yeah. Which is a stupendous send off for Mr. Smalls, like with the I mean, like the whole grenade. Yeah, like that whole fight scene is just, you're just feeling real sorry for H.I.
You know? You really are. He's just getting pummeled.
He's getting lucky by like just being so stumbly with the board in front of his face that the knife blocks it where he's just like so beat up already. He's just like, whoops, you know. And
but that was his classic though. He pulls the ring on the grenade.
Oh yeah. When he's getting like his back broke practically.
And I love that when he does blow up, you actually see flesh.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And his boot,
which is just perfect, you know. And so,
and it was like, you know, I mean, the scenes with Leonard Smalls were always accompanied by that haunting melody or lullaby I was talking about earlier, the disturbing lyrics.
Right. Oh, that's right.
But you know, like that was, you know, the other theme song, you know, was more like, I felt like the good music, you know, like, and then the haunting lullaby was, you know, that movie, that music stopped with that when that guy got killed.
Totally.
Pretty cool. The Coen brothers are good at that weird shit.
Yeah, that was a win. And then it goes in, and it goes into the last final scenes where they take little Nathan Jr. back and the dad's so excited to have him.
Yeah.
Which I thought was nice. It was a cute moment.
I was just like, I can't believe, I mean, I understand it's Arizona and people are pretty loosey-goosey with their guns.
Right.
But he like takes his gigantic fucking gun and like he's like, hey, Nathan Jr., like has it in the crib.
Oh, yeah, God, right, I was there. So
just like a foot away from the child.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, set your gun down.
It's like pointed at the kid. He's like pointing at the child.
You got like five of them in there. One could just easily grab it.
Yeah. And I mean, there was something to be said about that movie. Arizonans were terrible with guns. like for example, Nicolas Cage was always twirling his little pistol he had and he was not very good at it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you saw him. He kept on hitting his like leg and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
that's why do you think he didn't load it?
It's like, I'm gonna take care of it. Well,
the scene
was good with guns in that movie.
Like the scene where they're getting ready to go get the baby, he's like, we're gonna go do this, they're gonna go get our baby back, and he comes back with another gun, and then he goes off camera, and then he comes
the whole time he was apologizing to Ed. He was just like, right, I'm a better man now.
Yeah.
I'm a better man. You know what? We're going to go get our baby back. I'm a better man. I'm sorry. I'm a better, you know. Yeah. It was like every time you had a new gun.
Now let's go get Nathan Jr.
Yeah.
I read
that like Nathan Jr. was the being the baby was the only person that didn't cry throughout the entire film. At one point or another, all the characters cried in some way, but not the baby.
Yeah, I kind of felt like, God, is this kid autistic? I mean, how is he not
full spectrum?
Right.
Like, he was just like so chill with the entire situation going on around him. Everything. Like he gets dropped off the roof of a car and he's just chilling in the middle of the road going like, man, it's fine. At least I'm not facing the sun.
Yeah.
He's like kicking his feet. He's like,
somebody will be about in a second.
Leonard Smalls is like, got him on the front of his motorcycle while he's doing wheelies and like shooting a shotgun at people. The kid's like not crying.
He was an accomplice in a bank robbery. Yeah. That little baby did a lot.
Yeah, that was classic when Evelyn and Gary were like, okay, let's go in. And he's like, well, we can't leave him here. What if we die in there? They won't be discovered for hours.
That's right.
That's right. That was very, very paternal.
Yeah.
Apparently, that's a solid worry for parents too. I'm not a parent, so I never knew that.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like leaving your kid in the car and then being afraid you're not going. You know.
I mean, have you thought about
that? Wait, you can't do that?
I just
leave a bottle of water in there. They're fine.
I know. My parents did when I was a kid. So
a little hamster bottle. So just.
I specifically remember like being young and left in the car.
Left in the car. Like,
windows were down.
Yeah.
Listen to the music.
Yeah.
Panting. I wonder where they got this idea from.
it was probably better than my dad smoking inside the car with the windows down anyways. So.
Oh, yeah.
True. I imagine.
Yep.
Hey, how do you guys feel if one of the actors that tried out for this movie got it named Kevin Costner?
I could not picture that at all. That's a problem.
He was supposed to be the lead, but
I think it would have been very similar to what was that movie? It was like one of Kevin Costner's first movies. It's a Western.
Oh, you mean Silverado? Yeah.
Silverado.
I think it would be a lot like that. Like his personality.
Yeah, I think Nick, because like Nick Cage wasn't ideal, like in terms of the Coen brothers. They didn't really.
Hell no.
But I feel like his style was just perfect for her because he takes himself so seriously as an actor that like he was going to try and gobble up scenery, you know, like he was a scene chewer, you know, like with his facial expressions, just like when he's sitting there in the car, like looking at Holly Hunter. Well, he's not looking at her, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, God, stop caging it up, dude. Yeah. Jeez.
Just be you, man.
Yeah.
My God, yeah, totally true. Nick, yeah.
But I do think it's one of my favorite Nick Cage movies. I mean, he's just so, like, different.
I have to say this is probably my new favorite Nick Cage movie because yeah. I was not a fan of many, so this is definitely, I'm a fan of this movie for sure.
Yeah. It's definitely the only one that I can watch and not need to take a shower afterwards.
What? You don't like the Nick Cage shower? I enjoy that shower. That shower of shame for enjoying it.
You like washing off like all that treasure.
Yeah, I watch me a little Con Air. I watch me a little National Treasure.
Yeah, dude, and then go smell your armpits.
Oh, yeah, you know, like, you gotta
what was the other movie?
I like Nick Cage. He was in The Rock.
Yeah. I like The Rock.
He was in a movie called Next that I enjoyed.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it was just an interesting movie. It wasn't awful.
There's a number.
They're never great, but they're never
a lot of them.
Like, what do they offer to pay him? They're just like, we'll give you weed. He's like, okay.
Mastic Man. Yeah.
Well, anyway, not to Nick Cage bash too much, but
I like that. We're not all bashing.
Yeah, this is a good movie.
They're like, we'll just spend all the money on the special effects, so it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Well, overall, I'm glad that I watched it.
Yeah. I'm glad you guys liked it. I thought it was, we're not picking these movies in any particular order other than like we're doing the ones that each of us personally want to watch. But this is a movie I thought was balancing what we've been watching lately. We've been having so much good
nostalgic
stuff. You know, this is something that's equally nostalgic, but also like
probably had some Western, had some shooting, had some explosions.
And I felt like it's like this movie is, you know, holds up pretty well. Like you could watch it now and know that it's like from the 80s based on the little things. But other than that, it's like, you know, you could put
Channing Tatum. Yeah. Con Brothers, if you're listening, I know you are.
Apparently we need tits and abs. If we have
throw
that.
Some Channing in there, remake it.
Yeah.
Mark's excited. I can tell by his face. You can't see his face, but trust me, he's excited.
So, yeah, I mean, great movie, great acting, great directing. Like, there's just all kinds of good qualities to this movie. So, if you haven't seen it, I would recommend watching it right away. And
before we close this out, what's the next film that we're going to be hitting up?
I don't know. What is it, Chris?
Well, I'm going to say, first of all, I'm going to say thank you to Mark for joining.
I know absolutely.
And he'll be sitting in on the next one,
too. Yeah, too much, but we're going to have him back.
All you guys out there that liked his voice,
we'll have him back again. And, you know, that movie is actually one of my favorite movies. It's one of my favorite space movies that's not Star Wars. And it's called The Last Starfighter. So if you like that movie, listen in. And like I said, Mark will be here. We're borrowing him from the nerd and drink, the Drinking Geek podcast, and we're gonna do it next time. So we'll see you soon.
Excellent.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Cinema Stash Rehash. Be sure to give us some awesome iTunes reviews, like us on Facebook. Don't forget to check out past episodes and join us next time on Cinema Stash Rehash.